Star Trek 57, M23, take two.
It's the It's Got Star Trek podcast.
Unlimited power and infinite knowledge. I exist in the past, present, and future. I can see the creation of time and its end. Organic, synthetic, all life are strands in the fabric of reality. It's beautiful.
Ooh, sorry about all the drama.
Well, I'm gonna go to an empty dimension and create a universe now. Maybe hang out with the Q Continuum or check out the Black Mountain.
Let's make some podcast magic.
How are we gonna do that?
Who's ready for podcast magic?
How do we do that?
We do it every week, man. You know how to
What
do
if
it.
We run out of things to say?
It'll be a long time before we run out of Star Trek.
Oh man, I'm afraid we're gonna run out of things to say. What if it's like my turn to say something and I don't know what to say?
That never happens.
that's for fucking true. That's the truth.
That's for true. That is for true.
All right. Yeah, we'll go ahead and say we've started the podcast.
What's up, party people?
I started the podcast like way, way earlier. So.
Wait, what? Oh, I thought you were like talking about earlier today.
I know.
Is that a euphemism for like drinking or something?
No.
Already off.
Not
to.
Saying that you
Right,
it just sounded like a thing somebody.
Start.
It's just how people
I'm
talk
confused.
About. It's right, when people talk right. about partying, they're like, I started partying earlier today.
I started the podcast.
So
not to say that you drink.
I got the podcast going early today.
Not that you drink a lot, because you don't.
I sometimes during the podcast I drink a lot.
Okay, we keep talking about this podcast, but we haven't even said which podcast it is.
You know it.
It is.
I think I say it in the beginning.
The It's Got Star Trek podcast. You do, and it's also on the podcast feed and on the name of every. It's like people know, but you're supposed to say it. You got to say it at the beginning of the episode. You got to be all like. Hey, it's the It's Got Star Trek podcast. That's us.
You know it.
That's the It's Got Star Trek podcast. Woot, woot. Okay.
Hello.
That's right.
Yes. And this week on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, we continue our weekly coverage of Lower Decks Season 4. And this week, we're discussing episode 7.
Yes.
I'm you were doing a lot of sound clips and I wasn't sure
something
if I was
about badges.
Like, pausing to make room for sound clips.
That
was very thoughtful
Lower
of you.
Dex is a show that we watched. Now we discuss.
Wow.
And it is episode
Evil Laughs.
It is episode 210.
I'll
of
take
the
it.
It's Got Star Trek podcast.
210.
But we are discussing episode 7 from season 4 of Lower Decks. The episode is, in fact, titled A Few Badgies More.
You know it!
Which is a parody
it is
of
a few, yeah.
A Few Dollars More, which is, you know, there's
one of
the old
movies, yeah.
Sergio Leone spaghetti westerns, A Fistful of Dollars for A Few Dollars More. A few dollars more, a few dollars for a few, for a few, for a few, for a few dollars more.
Good, the bad, and the ugly.
Helpful training
good, the bad,
program.
And the ugly, among others. The man with no name.
Hi, I'm Goody.
You notice they had these little ding sounds? Like, listen.
I'm Goody.
There was a little ding, and then this one.
Hi, I'm Goody.
There's little bings everywhere.
I'm noticing.
There are a lot of bings in this episode.
More, see you have a machine that goes bing.
Exactly. Yeah, that's what I was thinking when the ship warped away and it went like ding. There was a little ship warpy away moment.
You thought
went,
about
ding.
The Monty Python?
I did.
Ding.
I actually wrote it in my notes.
Bing. Not ding. Bing.
Bing. Yeah, that's bing. The machine that goes bing.
I see you have a search engine that goes bing.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. A few badges more. That's the That's the thing. The bings, I didn't really notice that until you called them out there. So you've already, early in the podcast, have provided a service to the audience.
Yeah.
Actually, my designation is logic-y.
See? I'm logical.
You are.
I'm logic-y. That's declared that I'm logic-y.
So somebody's going to break your back Bane style?
What?
If you're logic-y, that's what happened to logic-y in this episode.
Oh.
Logic-y got broken. Oh, like Badgie broke logic-y's back folded. Bane style.
I didn't even notice that it was Bane style.
Yeah, because he like died. He broke it over his like knee.
Yeah.
And then like he died and he all like made, he probably made a different kind of tingle dingle when he died.
Tingle dingle.
When,
is that what logic-y, Bane, is that what happened to Bane?
I don't know, but I just know Bane broke Batman's back.
Oh, yeah.
And I imagine he broke his back like over his knee. Maybe not.
Maybe Batman got on his nerves.
Was he running him amok?
He was running him amok.
Hey.
Hey. Hey. For the uninitiated, that is a reference to a lyric from Wesley Willis. Who is an interesting outsider musical artist from Chicago.
Emphasis on the outsider.
He passed a number of years ago, but you should look him up. You may listen to Wesley Willis and first say, what is this? Or, oh, this is funny. If you listen to it enough, it gets to be some pretty interesting.
Yeah.
It's much more interesting than you might think initially.
When we first started talking about I whoop Batman's ass, and we all established that we were referencing that, I was going to play a laughter sound, but then you start talking more about Wesley Willis, and
fact that he's like schizophrenic.
Yeah, it's not funny.
With a lot of abuse in his life.
It becomes very like serious and unfunny. Yeah,
I'm glad I could provide that, my own little service to the podcast.
It's again, got sad stuff.
Usually it takes longer for me to derail the podcast into some sort of sad zone.
Hey, don't be like that.
I'm trying not to be like that, Dan. I appreciate the reminder. I should stop being like that.
Huh, I'll take it.
Okay. News and updates. Just a couple things.
News and updates. Is that a word? News and updates.
It is. No, it's not. These are.
It's a few words.
News em ups.
Three separate words.
News em ups.
Now, news em ups, it could work because we could trademark that.
But yeah. Trademark news em ups.
Okay.
It's got Star Trek news em ups.
Yeah. News em ups.
A classic set of it's got Star Trek news em ups.
What's up, party people?
Coming right up. A couple things this week. First of all, we just wanted to extend our thanks to 2 Minute Trek.
Indeed.
Who dedicated an entire podcast episode to discussing how awesome this podcast is.
Yeah, that was wild.
Episode 56 of 2 Minute Trek talks all about how awesome It's Got Star Trek is, which is very humbling and kind and all that other. I mean, I guess it's not humbling. It's the opposite of humbling. When people compliment you, it makes you more arrogant and greedy.
We're the kings of podcasting.
Fuck yeah. We're so fucking cool.
I know.
We're going to eat your podcast.
Jesse means that like literally.
Maybe one of you could
physically eat all your digital bits.
Maybe one of you could explain this to me. But when people say all like,
when a mummy bird and a daddy bird love each other very much.
When people say I was very humble and so many people cheered for me, it was a very humbling experience. It's kind of an odd thing to say.
I agree.
I know it's got to be rooted in something sensible, but at the same time, it's hard.
I think it is an overt strategy to be like, man, that fucking rocks.
Yeah.
I'm going to pretend like it doesn't. Right. I'm going to pretend like it's not making me an arrogant piece of shit.
All I could think is that like so many people are so overwhelmingly calling you great or whatever that you're just like, oh no, I'm not that great.
Is that what's happening?
It's like a responsibility, not to us. That doesn't happen to us, but like
no, well, but to you,
it happens to you.
Does it happen to you?
Happens to me.
See,
the
audience doesn't understand that. Like Dan doesn't. Dan's having trouble with the context because people do nothing but praise him
all day long,
all day long.
Brings me to my point, which is it actually puts a responsibility on you. Suddenly, it's like
Spider-Man.
I have to live up to all this praise, so it is humbling because I'm like, I can't live up to all this praise. They're going to expect all this shit from me. I can't possibly do it. I am now humbled because I realize how incapable I actually am to live up to what the pedestal that they're putting me on. You know?
I think you could live up to it by just banging on playing a bunch of sound effects at once.
Just play a bunch of sound effects at once.
All we have in Orion are like sharp little pebbles. All we have in Orion are like, this stuff is great. All we have in Orion are like, this stuff is great. All we have in Orion are like, this stuff is great. All we have in Orion are like, this stuff is great.
Are those labeled beats?
All we have in Orion are like, this stuff is great. All we have in Orion are like, this stuff is great. All we have in Orion are like, this stuff is great.
Yeah, see?
Yeah, that was a beat.
I think it's easy to live up to.
This is another beat.
Our standard.
I won't do this for too long.
Pop, pop.
Because you can just keep going.
Pop, 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 pop. pop, yeah, I like pop, that.
Pop, 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 pop.
Yeah, yeah, get a nice little mean? Rhythm going. That's from when he was saying Papa to Rutherford, when Badgie was saying Papa to Rutherford.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow. Stupid grappler. Shadows don't even need a stupid grappler. Stupid grappler. Shadows don't even need a stupid grappler. Stupid grappler. Shadows don't even need a stupid grappler. Stupid grappler.
It makes me think of Grappler Zorn. You know,
is this guy going to murder us?
Nah, he's cool.
Grappler Zorn is in Encounter at Farpoint.
Oh, we have an Orion.
I know it's not Grappler Zorn.
It's great.
It's Grappler Zorn.
Oh, we have an Orion. Like
this sounds
great.
Like Grappler.
Oh, we have an Orion. Like this sharp is great. Pebbles.
Okay, that's the beat section. We did it early this week.
Long story short.
Got out of the way.
Yeah. Long story short. Thank you very much. I've, 2 minute check.
Oh yes. Oh, I'm sorry. That. Yes. No. Thank you. I want to say two things. First of all, I'm really into that that intro that they had. that intro was badass.
Yeah, they've been looping their intro.
We didn't make
anything
short.
What?
There was nothing. Oh. Nothing was made short.
Oh yeah. I guess we. It would be short if we cut that whole beat sort of side thing out. But
it would be an interesting and fun activity for us to attempt to squeeze content into 2 minute limitation. I think you'd have trouble. That's one thing that impresses me so much.
We'd stop before we got started.
About 2 minute trek is how much they get out, how much information is conveyed.
And we could try like a 25 minute trek.
Or I think we got to go the other direction.
We
got to beat them at their own game and we got to start 1 minute trek.
Oh, shit.
Let's start at 1 minute 30 seconds.
Talk real fast.
Be a little realistic.
No. It'll be like this show. We'll aim for 1 minute, but it'll end
drink
up
a bunch of soda for
a minute 30
or four.
It's one order of magnitude below what this show currently does.
So number one, I was really into the opening.
Number one.
Number two, I want to make it clear that I never said jam eaters. That was never something I said.
No.
That is not something I said.
No, I don't think anyone's offended, Dan.
No, I'm just saying. I just want everyone to be we're on the same level.
What's Dan, just to clarify.
So, on the flip side of it, so if you want to compliment anyone on
What do you call them?
If you want to compliment anyone on saying jam eaters, don't compliment me because I didn't say it.
No, you should compliment me because I was the one who had the forethought.
I think he was the one that said it.
This is confusing people because people who are not necessarily in the know. Long ago... In the before times.
Long ago or not
before.
It was like a year ago or something. Having heard Unplanned Trek coming out
that
of...
Because that's how you're supposed to do it. Because that's how rules. You're supposed to do it.
It's got like six A's. Anyway.
You sound like Mr. Costanza.
Anyway. Once upon a time.
Right on.
Having learned that podcast... That those fellas are broadcasting out of Tasmania, Australia, and Tasmania being such an interesting place, I wanted to see how do you refer to people from Tasmania, right? You know, because you got your Aussies, you got your Limeys, you
Kiwis.
Got your Yanks, you got your Kiwis. So I was like, is there a term for people in Tasmania? So I looked it up and it was somewhere, it was like on Wikipedia or something. It said the term for people from, like the local term for people from Tasmania is jam eaters.
Oh yeah.
And so I think I asked them and they're
that's
like,
what, yeah.
They're like, we've never heard of that term before.
Like, I don't, never heard of that before.
But it's taken on a life of its own on social media and on their podcast and other podcasts. And I think
that's pretty funny.
We may have manifested the usage of the term. Jammy.
We didn't come up with it. I certainly didn't. I didn't. I didn't. I didn't.
You got it from somewhere.
I didn't come up with it, nor did I manifest it.
Somebody on the internet.
I had nothing to do with it.
Somebody on the internet. It was like that time I played a prank on a friend where I made a Wikipedia entry for a made-up disease, a disease I made up called testicular meningitis.
Right.
I kept telling my friend who was in medical school. I was like, yeah, that guy got a bad case of testicular meningitis. And she was like, you can't get testicular meningitis because there are no meninges in the testes. The testes have no meninges.
Right, she got all doctor on you.
And then I was like, oh, I'll show her. And I made a fake Wikipedia page that talked about testicular meningitis. It was pretty great.
Totes, Dick!
I have screenshots because it did get taken down within the hour.
Totes Redick.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Let us do it. Oh, okay. No. The other quick news item is today.
Let's do it.
Today, we are recording on October 13th, which is Beverly Crusher Day, because it is the canonical birthday of the character Beverly Crusher. And so in the real world, it's become Beverly Crusher Day.
And it just so happens to be Friday. Ooh.
Oh, yes. It's very spooky. It's extremely spooky
outside. I'm Spooky Dan. This is my spooky voice.
Why are you spooky, Jim?
It's Friday the 13th. Oh. It's my spooky voice.
It's only bad if you're like a Templar.
Ooh. This happens every year. It's a little early this year where Spooky Dan shows up. Spooky Dan's a problem.
Oh, no. Spooky Dan.
Spooky Dan.
Spooky Dan's come early this year.
Spooky Dan's fun, but he can be a little bit of trouble.
A bit out of hand.
Ooh. Yes, but it is Beverly Crusher Day, and we would we want to direct everyone to Crusher Convo's YouTube channel. Just type in Crusher Convo, you will find it. And not only should you subscribe to that channel, because you can get all sorts of Crusher Convo goodies over there, but for Beverly Crusher Day, Jesse and Michelle from Crusher Convo put together a package of awesome material that they put up on their YouTube page, including the first ever video version of It's Got Star Trek doing a podcasty topic.
It was wild.
Where we talked about Beverly Crusher as a mentor. So go check it out.
Groundbreaking.
Yeah, it was really fun. I mean, you know, it was our first time doing video stuff.
A new format.
So it was a little goofy for us, but it was fun. Totally. We do want to do more of that in the future if people are into that. But so go check that out.
That was almost a doo-doo you said. I do want to do that. I do want to do that. I do want to do that. I do want to do that.
You're stretching it.
I do
you're
want...
stretching it to doo-doo.
Spooky Dan.
You're being Spooky Dan.
A piece of toast. Adam Sandler, Beverly Crusher Day. Also, on the Crusher Convo feed, it was us. But you also had Isaac from Unplanned Trek talking about Beverly Crusher as a mother, and then you had the team from the Green Shirt podcast, most of them anyway, talking about Beverly Crusher as a doctor, and then a whole live podcast with Jesse and Michelle, and so a whole bunch of people got involved. It was a fun time, so you can go check it all out. Even though it played today, you can check it all out.
It'll still be there.
YouTube. It should stay there for a while. And eventually we'll release...
This is an evergreen podcast.
We'll release a bonus audio podcast version of it so you can hear it on our regular feed. But definitely check out the video. It's fun. We got to do video stuff with like wiggly fingers and things that you can't do on an audio podcast. Mm-hmm. We do wiggly fingers each week.
Oh, right.
But you don't see it.
We were wiggling fingers.
You're just listening.
Those are inappropriate wiggly fingers.
I was making faces.
They're not always
the
inappropriate. No. They're always consensual.
Okay, that's true. That's important.
How about that? Compromise, sometimes inappropriate.
Consensual
always,
fingers.
Always,
yeah.
Always consensual.
Yeah.
That's the slogan of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. It's always consensual.
Oh, yeah.
Okay. that's the news. The news and updates. The new, what's, news em ups?
News em ups.
That's the news em ups.
It's Got Star Trek news em ups.
Oh, yeah.
We can now delve into this episode. We've already touched.
That was a whole bunch of mups
on a couple
yeah,
things.
No kidding.
But it was only two. It was two.
Well, it's not about the quantity. It's not about the quantity of topics.
Like,
it's about
duration.
The duration.
The motion
Thank
of the
you.
Ocean. The motion of the ocean.
It's the duration of the nation.
Do you got the lotion for the motion?
No, gross.
Oh, I wanna say I got a joke. Guess what? I got a joke in this episode.
I bet you do.
Wait. Do you mean there was a joke and you understood it?
I think this might have been a joke from the very start, way back when Badgie was introduced, but I finally got it. Maybe we weren't meant to get it before this episode. But with the birth of Goodgie, I finally understood that Badgie is bad G.
Right.
Bad G.
Oh, I didn't
yeah,
get that.
Yeah, see, okay, good. I'm not alone.
I didn't get
yeah,
that.
Because I never thought, because it's just badge. The word is just
it's
bad.
It's wordplay.
It's just badge. So
I like wordplay.
Bad G, good G. And then when I heard good G, I was like, oh, bad G. Was that their original intention going way back when Badgie was introduced? Or did they just invent that joke this episode? You never know. But the writing process is interesting because they don't always know. You don't always know where something's going to end up. You know what I mean? And that's important about that's important thing about creating things is it can be easy for me to stress myself out and be like, oh man, this isn't going to be great the first time around. But that's the part of the joy of it is if it's not great, you just go back and you make it better, and you sometimes you end up with something like
even
almost
better.
So almost completely different, but like even better. So even you know better. What I mean? So it's all about the evolution. You don't have to. Rome wasn't built in a day. It was built in several days. That's what I hear. I don't know that for a fact, though. Is that true? Rome wasn't built in a day?
I think that's basically true.
Okay. So just stick with it. You don't know where you're going to end up, but it's about the journey and the destination.
Very much arguable point.
Hey, Jesse. Do you remember earlier in the podcast where Dan was like, "What if I don't know? What if I just don't have anything to say?
I forget what I have to say.
I have nothing else to say."
Yeah, I guess I was worrying for nothing, huh? Mm.
Well, we'll find out. There's still plenty of podcasts left.
Hey, Jesse. I could just do that voice.
He did.
This is a voice you've been working on for a while. This character you've been building up. It pretty much consists of just those two. Yeah. Those two words.
Well, then I sometimes go, what are you doing?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I forgot about that. I do like that part.
Yeah. So it took about 6 months for it to catch on among us. So I think about another year it'll catch on with the general public.
Do you practice that at home, like while you're in your private time with your cats?
Yes. Well, like when I'm walking around giving the cat food or like making dinner for myself, I'll just be like, hey, Jesse. What are you doing?
But it's never, hey, Patrick.
And it's like, I know, there's something about the word Jesse flows off the tongue well with that.
Maybe that's why there's so many Jessies in the Star Trek podcasting world.
I say it when I'm like...
just a lyrical name.
When I'm putting together food and I don't know what... It's another example of creativity. I don't know where my meal's going to end up, but I figure it out as I go along. And so I'm like trying to figure out what ingredient to do next. So I'm just like, hey, Jesse, what are you doing? To be like, what am I doing? You know, I don't know. What, am I going to put onions in it? Or do I want to put a lot of garlic? I have to go to... appointment tomorrow. I don't want to put too much garlic in, you know? You know what I'm saying?
Appointments.
Do you do that? Do you avoid garlic if you're going to...
Because when I put garlic in, I put like too much.
Well, I mean, how much is too much?
Are you afraid of the breath or of it coming out the pores of your skin?
The pores of the
skin. How much is too much?
I don't know. That's what got me worried.
Oh, no.
But garlic is nice.
How much would you put in? That's what got me worried.
I didn't mean to say it like that.
Good.
Okay. Woo, yeah. Oh, crazy.
We're on fire.
We are on fire.
We're on something.
Did I mention I'm drinking a Fresca? I don't think I mentioned that on the podcast.
It's unusual for Patrick to drink a Fresca. Jesse's got some lemon lime seltzer.
Yeah, it's fresher.
Good. Okay, let's talk about Star Trek on this episode with Badgie, because he's the bad version, which we've figured that out.
You get salvaged.
Evidence.
In the season finale of the third season, The Stars at Night, there was a post-credit scene in which Badgie is, or the Rutherford's headpiece that was ripped off his face was recovered.
Right. So I was.
But we did not at the time know who it was recovered by.
And when they recovered the salvage, I was like, what did that? I know that's from something. That's from a past episode when something blew up, but I couldn't remember what. And so now you're filling in the blanks for me.
Filling in those blanks.
Word.
So that.
Podcast blank.
So we now know that he was recovered by the Drukmani, but
I'm Badgie, your helpful training program.
Yeah, but was swiftly able to take over the Drukmani captain.
He pulled a face alien face hugger thing.
He's a sneak. Yeah,
like he like.
Yeah, it was cool. And creepy.
Yeah, it was badass.
And then from there, they put him in holo emitters, and that started to be. Make me wonder, was the Voyager, was the Doctor, was he capable of such treachery through holo emitters?
He had a portable emitter.
Right.
He was capable of other treachery.
But, I mean, he had a portable emitter,
family on that planet, but where everything was all spent.
Well, that would actually go further to my point. Like, he had a portable emitter, so if the Doctor had wanted to take over the ship, like Badgie did in this episode, would the Doctor have been able to? Can a hologram take...
Holograms?
Can a hologram...
Holograms?
Holograms.
I believe there are some differences here. One of them now being that the Doctor did not have full access to... They make this point here that Rutherford unwisely gave Badgie access to, like, basically full access to the Starfleet computers for the purpose of being able to provide assistance.
Mm-hmm. Now, I want
to
say...
But that also gave him access to stuff he shouldn't have access now, to, presumably.
And I realize that Moriarty in... Moriarty yes. in TNG, he was just a regular old...
Elementary, my dear, Data!
Yeah, he was just a regular old...
Holograms?
And, a fistful of Datas.
And he was able to do all sorts of shit. Which, I can't remember how that all ended up. I know for a while they fooled him, and then did he ever actually take over the ship for real,
because
though?
the computer created something that could rival Data.
Moriarty had that lever that was that two-way lever that controlled the Enterprise.
Moriarty was able to gain control of the Enterprise.
And so
he was not able to transcend into a digital god.
Right. So we've established that all the, in canon, like, holograms can do this. But, like, could the Doctor do this? The Doctor. So we can only assume that the Doctor could have done that.
Doctor, give me the news. I mean, what are you going to do?
Chief O'Brien?
Doctor, what are you going to do, Doctor?
The Doctor, firstly, wouldn't be motivated, of course. Would he have the capacity to do it? Maybe. But I think we're meant to understand that Badgie has more information at his disposal, combined with malicious intent and a high degree of intellectual capacity in the area of doing such things as sabotage. And
I can't let Badgie boop my friends to death.
Sabotage.
Boop.
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 Boop his friends to death.
Sabotage.
But we now know what happened to Badgie, and we get, you know, this story helps sort of resolve all that.
And it was interesting they used, the way he ascended to being a digital god.
I'll be a digital god!
Was through subspace somehow, which was kind of like a wacky new use of subspace. Like, they were talking about traveling across subspace at one point, and it was confusing. Because, like, subspace is just sort of a device in which they're allowed to communicate. It's a narrative device that allows them to communicate instantaneously, totally. Basically.
Yeah.
But they were used
semi instantaneously.
Right, and they've leveraged it for various other plot points. But then they were talking about traveling across subspace. I think at one point is a little.
He was able to get access to all the
ships because
all the ships have subspace receivers. But I guess that makes
sense, because he is just information. So, like, he could travel through subspace and through that, he became some kind of, like, god.
I exist in the
past.
Are
you information, Dan?
And future.
Are you information?
I don't know, man. Like, the universe is pretty far
out.
What
have you got?
The universe is crazy. Who knows? Maybe we're all just information, man.
Maybe that's how it works.
Oh, no. We just ran out of things to say.
I haven't run out of things to say.
Okay, good. Phew, thanks.
I do like watching you guys just to see what's going to happen.
What's
even going to happen?
Yeah.
The subspace stuff I took more to be, on the one hand, it was like, okay, this is how you can access basically every single ship, every single satellite, etc., because they're all connected to this magical network. Really, it was a hand-wavy thing, right?
Right.
One issue I had with this episode was I enjoyed it. I thought it was a good episode. A lot of it was, I don't know, I didn't engage super hardcore with it. I was having fun the whole time. The Badgie story in particular, I liked it. I was
Badgie?
Each component of it was fine. The ending I thought was really cool. And I think it was one of those things where they had the ending idea first. They were like, this is how Badgie's going to, this Badgie story is going to resolve. Spooky Dan.
Real quick,
it comes out the top of the universe.
For some reason, when they hit warp 9.9, that's when he was able to transfer himself all across.
9.99.
It wasn't yet. Yeah, that's how he was able to get into subspace, was by hitting warp 9.9 for some reason.
Really?
So that was like a little hand waviness you were talking about.
There's a lot
that's
of hand waviness.
That's really fast. Yeah.
I don't have a problem with hand waviness. I watch Star Trek because I want to see interesting stories. And I think this was an interesting story, but more it was an interesting end point to the story, where we have this consistent antagonist, Badgie, going back to season one.
I'm Badgie!
Gudgy, your helpful training program.
And we do get that resolved here. And the resolution is a very fascinating one. It's a good Star Trek story where you have this antagonist who you cannot beat. You do not have the capacity to beat this antagonist. And it turns out they're beaten by their own realization that when they attain the power that they were seeking, incumbent in having that power is having the capacity to realize how stupid it is to even seek that power in the first place. Mm-hmm. How his previous desires were meaningless and stupid.
But that's how
petty
works.
Revenge and all that.
Well,
other stuff.
Badgy was an emotional monster because he split off his, like when he started to make
bifurcates
when he started to make peace
before his before his apotheosis
before he
bifurcated and then there was an apotheosis
pre-apotheosis
okay so when
I
he
like that.
When he didn't right. when he didn't like the fact that he was like
prebiotic.
When he was making up with Rutherford, he decided to just be like, nope, I want the good part of me out. But then the logical side pointed out, it's like, what you're doing is not actually helping your plan. He's like, I don't want that either.
Yeah,
so he got rid of logic.
I respected that.
Yeah. And so he just became this sort of negative emotional monster, and it showed like how damaging that can be.
It was a good ending, and like I said, the components of it, I did like that. I don't know, maybe because I watched it a few times, and in both times, this storyline in particular, I was like, okay, cool, yeah, all right, next step, I get where they're going, this is cool. And then the ending, I didn't predict the apotheosis into having a sort of a revelation.
I did not,
at least not until right before it happened, and I thought,
I'll be a digital god.
I really enjoyed that. I really enjoyed that being the conclusion to Badgie's story, at least the up till now conclusion. And we now have Gudgy as a potential new fun sidekick that they can play around with.
Is Logicky dead officially?
Logicky is dead because he got banned. He got broke. He got banned.
Oh, man.
He got banned.
That is illogical.
Can you do a Bane impression?
I'm afraid I'll
you're afraid that you'll sound
I'll sound in a way that doesn't sound cool.
You don't want to. Okay.
Can you do a Bane impression?
I don't know, but it's like Tom Hardy kind. No, I can't do it.
How about you, Jesse? Can you do a Bane impression?
I'm not really sure who Bane is.
it's like
just as cooler than we are.
It's like Batman. I'm going to be evil in a very fancy way. I'm a big brute, but I'm fancy. Batman.
Is he in a movie?
I'll be a fancy brute. See, that would just sound like Sean Connery more than
a little.
Not really like either, but like I was more Sean Connery
old
than
Batman.
Bane.
Yeah, I'm gonna break your back, you old Batman.
Is that Barney Fife?
It could either be Don Knotts, or it could be what's his name from the that movie. The old savings and loan. Hello.
Oh yeah,
Merry
Jimmy Stewart.
Merry
Jimmy Stewart,
Christmas, right. You old savings and loan.
Right. Well, money's at Bill's house and Ted's house.
this movie's about I wish I were dead.
Yeah, really.
I'm gonna fucking kill myself. Turns
Do you
out
think
it was
you
a mistake.
Can teach me how to be friendly?
I want to say that So Badgie was like I said, an emotional monster, but that was interesting because they also explored the emotions of the bad robots as well. And then there was one in particular with
I don't know, Tyrannicillicus.
Tyrannicillicus, yes. When
Lord Tyrannicillicus.
When he says
my favorite desktop ever.
When he's come to the when they're in the therapist session, he goes, "What I've come to understand is that instead of organics, what I really need to subjugate is my feelings." So this is once again about emotions and dealing with negative emotions, which negative emotions aren't bad. They just need. And here's a problem I have with that. What he just said, I need to subjugate my feelings. I get what they're saying, but emotions aren't meant to be controlled. They're meant to be managed. And there is a subtle but very big difference between those two things.
Right. You know what? And I think we should talk about that.
After
subtle,
this.
Subtle, yeah. They were just trying to make a joke.
Subtle but big difference when we get back from the break. We'll be right back.
I'm going to open my Kit Kat.
Nice. Good looks, yo. You were thinking.
I was waiting for the break, and it's all special.
So. Okay, we're back from the break.
Subtle but big.
Well, you didn't need to finish your kick. Okay, so during the break,
I'll keep my mouth away.
Among other activities, one of the activities was Jesse opened his Kit Kat.
Get away from me, freak!
He has a Kit Kat snack. Not every week, but this week he has a Kit Kat snack.
Kit Kat. Why'd you put add snack to the end of it?
Well, because it's a snack.
That's what it is, man.
You know, he's just having
a Kit
Kat. Do you
guys want to take a root beer float break?
And he didn't want the opening of the wrapper to disrupt the podcasting. So he opened the wrapper during the break, but then we came back from break earlier than expected. And he's still eating the Kit Kat.
Someone
right now
defied a direct order.
All right. Emotions, you're talking about emotions are stupid. What was that?
Well,
you were saying emotions are stupid?
So emotions, imagine emotion is like a river, okay? And let's say for some reason this river had giant waves, even though rivers don't have waves. Okay. But let's pretend it does.
All right.
And so this river has got all these waves and you're in the middle of the river. Or I guess the rapids would make more sense because you have rapids in rivers.
Rapids.
And when a river runs through it, you have rapids.
That's a movie.
A river runs through it, yeah, with Brad Pitt.
It's like waves.
Bill, his Bill lesser Patterson. Known brother, Bill Pitt.
Bill Pitt, yeah.
Hi, I'm Bill Pitt.
So if you're
No, that's my brother Brad.
If you're whitewater,
I'm Bill.
If you're whitewater rafting, okay, you don't control the flow of the water. You can't do that. That's a hopeless task. You manage the rapids with your paddles and things like that. See the difference? That's how emotions are handled. So you don't subjugate emotions, you manage them. But right. I get what they were
you
making.
Navigate.
But you navigate. Right.
You get that they were making a joke though.
Yeah, I do get they were making a joke. I just think the premise of the joke was flawed. So
I can't disagree with that.
But it was funny. I do admit that it was funny.
You know what else was funny?
Right on.
Your face?
No. Well, yeah. Face. Sometimes I make a goofy face.
Sometimes it makes faces and it's funny.
Goofy. Oh, no. And then it's funny. But if I'm making a serious face and people laugh, that's just going to make me sad. No, what I was saying that was also funny was the responses we got to our quiz from last week.
Ah, quiz response.
Oh, the quiz, I forgot.
Which we will briefly recount some of those responses here today, as we promised last week.
Let's do it!
So, as a reminder for folks that either do not remember or did not listen to last week's podcast, we did have a brief quiz, and there were three questions or three sort of things to answer. We wanted the wrong answers only for the following questions. They were blank O'Brien, who or what is quote unquote on it, and then fill in the blank, okay, let's blank it.
Mm-hmm. Oh.
And those are based off of three popular phrases that we hear frequently. Hey, Dan, why don't you play those phrases for us?
Real quick, when you say, okay, let's blank it, that could be its own sentence. It could. If blanket was a verb.
Blanket's a noun.
Let's blanket. If you say blanket was a verb, you could say, like, it's like, let's party, let's blanket, you know?
I will say I was slightly disappointed that was not one of the... People did not submit that.
Okay, so Chief.
Chief O'Brien.
Chief O'Brien, yeah. Blank O'Brien.
B'Elanna's on it.
B'Elanna's on it.
Who or what is on it?
Okay, let's do it.
Okay, let's do it.
Do. Captain Sisko.
Do.
Getting down with that clown prince of genocide.
Making decisions.
Gul Dukat. In Waltz, that's where that line is from.
Holodeck duty.
Yes, okay, but the wrong answers for those. We got a number of responses, and so I just thought I'd read a few of them here. First, from Grayson, we got Beats O'Brien, as in beats, because Dan's always like making beats.
All we have an Orion are like sharp little
this stuff
pebbles.
Is great.
Exactly.
All we have an Orion are like this stuff is great. Pebbles. All we have an Orion are like this sharp
is
great.
This one is somewhat
All
lacking
we have an
in bass.
Are like this sharp is great.
Maybe I could do it over this. No, that didn't work. That didn't work.
I don't know what's going on. This is upsetting.
Yeah.
His next one was...
Is this guy going to murder us?
Nah, he's cool.
Was Australasia's on it, which he said was a reference to, that we're frequently talking about our friends down in Tasmania.
Mm. Ha.
The aforementioned...
The jam eaters.
Jam eaters. Mm. And I really like
this... Do they have jam factories there? Where does that come from?
No, I don't think that they don't have any jam factories in Tasmania.
Do they have any jam? Do they even eat any jam?
They do have jam there, but I don't know what kind of jam.
It's like the same jam.
Posited last week that they might have Tasmanian devil jam where they like ring juices out of
Tasmanian devils.
That was meant as in jest.
Is it the kind of jam I do when I'm at a rockin' show?
Because it seems like they really have a lot of jam in England.
Because I'm jamming when there's a rockin' show.
You were jamming.
Like in England, they're eating a lot of jam.
Well, I mean, I eat a lot of jam too.
I don't eat much jam.
It's sort of like an Anglo-Saxon thing.
It must be a thing. Yeah.
I don't like a lot of sugar for breakfast.
You don't have to. It's fruit sugar.
Because
I'm not saying it's.
I mean, it's not only fruit sugar.
Anglo-Saxons eat toast.
No, I'm not.
Beans on toast.
I'm not.
No,
I'm,
you can put jam on toast.
I'm not criticizing having sugar for breakfast as a health
thing.
As a health thing, I'm just saying for breakfast
when I
have too much sugar at breakfast, it makes me feel funny.
Well, what kind of syrup do you put on your sausages then?
I don't put syrup on sausages.
You don't put syrup on your sausages?
No.
Do you put syrup on it?
I mean, the answer is maple.
The answer is no syrup. I want to eat my sausage.
Just a little maple syrup.
I don't like my sausages
cut
sweet
that
like
saltiness.
That.
A wee sprinkle.
I've had syrup on sausage and it's fine, but
it's unnecessary.
All I think about is how I wish it didn't have the syrup on it.
I wish I was just
eating sausage.
Yeah, right.
We did get a lot of responses, so we need to conclude this.
Okay.
Somewhat ironically, Grayson's last entry was okay. Let's tangent.
Well, hey,
which works. It's a you. You good, you.
You.
Life becomes art.
You.
This next person, I don't know. I don't know.
He's right on point, though, because that's exactly what we were doing.
I don't know if this is a troll or somebody who's just being funny. They go by the name of Semen Boy.
Hmm.
And so their entry is...
You don't know if it's...
Their entry
they used
was,
to call you that.
I don't even know who Jesse was directing
was
that
I,
to because I'm looking at my notes. And his entry was Semen O'Brien.
Okay.
Semen's on it.
Yeah.
Semen's on it. And okay, let's semen.
Okay.
Which is pretty funny. So I don't know if those were meant to be they're obviously joke answers. Mm-hmm. But I don't know if they were like mean joke answers or if they were like cool joke
answers.
Like,
I'm just going to be a joke.
Real mature.
But I laughed at that, especially because I think it's a clever twist because you think the last one's going to be like, okay, let's like come.
Yeah.
But it's not. It's okay, let's semen.
Yeah.
I'm having
my doubts about this person.
Anyway,
does this person really exist?
Maybe
that
this
person
person's
exists.
Like 13 years old. Maybe they're like, you know, 70 years old.
Helena J. Said for the first one said Senior Chief Petty Officer Miles Edward O'Brien.
Yeah,
which I thought was funny. It's
pretty good.
The full name. Odo's on it.
Hey,
which is because you know, because
he's goopy and
exactly,
he's on things
and he's cool. But
he gets
like,
all around.
You could imagine like if somebody was like, because Odo can be clothes, and what if he was just playing a prank on you? He was like, haha, it was your clothes.
Oh,
Odo's on
Odo
you.
From Deep Space Nine.
Yes. And then Helena's last entry was, okay, let's Star Trek.
Yeah.
Which I thought was cool.
I'm all about that.
Yeah. Even though technically, you know, for both of these last ones, technically, or no, and also Grayson, technically it was let's blank it.
Let's Star Trek it.
So, you know, but I like what we got. So I'm not going to be like
poetic license.
Exactly.
That's what that is.
Which is similar to a license to kill.
Are there more?
Yeah. You know, there's three more. Jack from 2 Minute Trek from the aforementioned 2 Minute Trek. Number one was Vegemite O'Brien. Number two was Jam is on it.
Jam on it.
And then number three was okay, let's jam eat it. Which is great because it
pretty good.
He left the it in even though it makes a little less sense. But yes, it goes back to the whole jam business that we were talking about. Jam eater business.
I think it's pretty good.
Edward said Lieutenant O'Brien, which I think is a reference to the fact that in some episodes early on, like in Encounter at Farpoint, he was like had an ensign pip, and I think
he's on the bridge.
There's at least a couple where there's one where like Riker refers to him as Lieutenant O'Brien, or he's like refers to him as Lieutenant.
Do you know his favorite transporter room?
Number three.
Number three.
According to Picard.
His second entry was Tendy's on it.
Mm-hmm.
And
oh, yeah.
And then the third one is, okay, let's pee on it.
That's pretty good, too. I like that.
I'm like, is that just like when somebody gets stung by a jellyfish or something? They're like, oh, you got to pee on it.
Right. I heard that that's not
true.
It probably doesn't work. I think ammonia works, but I think your pee doesn't have enough ammonia in it to have the effect that's necessary.
Unless you're really sick.
But who knows? It couldn't necessarily hurt. If you got some pee in you and you got a jellyfish nibbling at your knee.
Can you pee in you? Like what part of you?
In your bladder, presumably.
Oh, so you're saying, I thought you were talking about like sweating out pee or something.
No.
What if you were sweating out peas?
What I was thinking.
Peas nuts.
I'm just saying.
I'm not saying nothing.
I'm just saying.
In the event.
You know what I'm saying.
That you get stung by a jellyfish in a place whereupon you could pee.
Okay.
or you could have a friend pee
on
you.
Ocean.
You could give it a try if it's painful.
You can always
it's sufficiently
pee in the
painful
ocean.
And you got nothing better to do.
Everything else.
Who knows? But it maybe who knows? It probably doesn't work though.
Not gonna work.
And the very last entry was from Isaac from Unplanned Trek. Who his first entry was Fuck O'Brien.
I like to think of it as like fucko is one word. Fuck O'Brien.
Yeah. His second one was Sarix on it and off it and back on it again. And then which I was trying to figure out the joke there. It could be, I don't know, maybe it's a joke that Sarix has a bunch of kids.
Yeah.
A lot of children from different folks. I don't know. Maybe Isaac can let us know. And finally, okay, let's Alamarain it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Da-na, jam-a-doo-doo.
No. Oh, yeah. New York City.
Da-da-da-da. Alamarain, 1, 2, 3. Hippity-hoppity. Jump up and down.
Crazy business.
Creepy business.
All right, that was fun. I thought that was a fun, fun quiz.
I thought it was.
If we can think of future activities similar to that, we will do that.
It was very relevant when you read Grayson's submission of let's tangent after we had just tangentialized or whatever for like 5 minutes.
That worked out very well.
Accurate.
Very well.
Accurate.
Accurate. Where that's us. Oh. Okay. All right, back to the old previously scheduled Star Trek talk, where we talk about Star Trek stuff.
Do you ever think that when they're like speaking a language that isn't English...
You're talking about the Bynars?
Well, I was getting to that, okay. Yes.
Let's let him finish.
All right.
When the Bynars... Yes.
I think Dan might be Seaman Boy. Boy was spelled B-O-I.
I spent a lot of time at sea, so I'm surprised that joke wasn't made already.
Yeah, it wasn't spelled
back
like that.
You're watching something in a different language than what you have the audio set to, normally they caption it, and in this case they didn't. And do you ever that happens from time to time in shows where they choose not to caption when somebody's speaking in a language other than you have the audio set
sometimes,
for. And do you ever wonder, like, is the captioning broken? Because that was a particularly long conversation.
Like, I don't know.
I was like, I don't know if someone's getting fucked
I think
up
it was
here.
I think it was on purpose.
I like that. They were
I'm
like,
starting to think so.
They were like,
because we know, we've seen a bunch of other people do the same thing,
right,
so we know exactly what they're saying.
Right.
We know exactly what
but
happens.
They weren't speaking in Klingon or whenever, Romulan.
Right.
I guess it was part of the joke.
Or Orion.
I guess it was part of the joke because we don't really hear. Did they ever? I don't know if they ever captioned Bynar's speech before.
I think, but
it's like we can get the idea.
When they had Bynars, they were just speaking English.
It's kind of neat to get the idea. Like, imagine what they're talking about. Like, so it was kind of like an interesting choice that I was into.
Yeah, they were looking at that the screen with showed some pictures of some stuff, which I wasn't sure that was meant to be a clue for us about something going on, because they did show a map, you know, with a galaxy and stuff. But at least in a meta sense, it was really funny to see them all, like, they're all like pointing at the screen being like, they kept them in pairs, which was cool. Mm-hmm. More importantly, it was cool to see the Bynars at all, because we haven't really seen them in any meaningful sense since the TNG episode. What is it? 1010. Where is it? 1001101. I think
that was like over 30 years ago.
It was quite some time ago.
It was a bunch of ones and zeros.
It was 1100001.
Yeah.
TNG episode season 1.
Season 1.
And after
season 1,
after a ship got quote unquote fucked with, Badgy was all like, "Looks like someone killed some Bynars." And I was like, "Ha! I knew they weren't dead. I knew they were dead." But then we find out later. And it was like a
this is what I've been saying for a couple of weeks now. I've been saying for weeks that they weren't getting killed.
And it was kind
of makes sense thematically.
And it was kind of a throwaway line at the end too. Like when the discovery that they weren't being killed, it was
being stolen.
It wasn't like this revelatory
classic Patrick prediction true.
It wasn't this revelatory moment where everyone was like, "Oh my gosh!" It was like Boimler just kind of threw the line out, and it was just like left the room, and it was kind of like,
"We gotta tell Starfleet."
But I thought they would have made a bigger production.
Thanks, Pally. We gotta go tell Starfleet.
I thought they would have made a bigger production.
Starfleet.
I thought they would have made a bigger production about making that sort of revelation, but
well,
they didn't.
So, okay, there was a couple things here. First of all, like, just to conclude with the Bynars, I was really happy to see them again. We did get a reference, Phlox references the Bynars in Enterprise's Regeneration, which is an interesting episode, but he's talking about the whole, you know, having a mechanical bits as part of their bodies. But that's just a reference. We do see a picture of the Bynars in, I think it's in Cupid's Errant Arrow. There's a picture of a pair of Bynars looking all sexy in the background.
Mm-hmm.
Again, they're always in couples. That's part of their deal. But other than that, we haven't seen them in a meaningful interaction since 11001001. And so having them even be a brief part of this was really great. Seeing their ship designs, seeing how they interact with each other, hearing their language again. That was exciting.
If they speak in ones and zeros, it must mean they either don't have much to say or there's a lot of ones and zeros going along, which means there'd have to be a lot of sort of syllables in their language.
What Phlox was talking about was that when their babies are born, they replace their parietal lobes with a digital chunky bits.
Okay, so they can detect like little
like, yeah.
Digital chunky
they can,
bits.
I guess it would be little discrete beeps that where we couldn't.
On TNG, they
binary
were.
Binary beeps.
They
binary
were talking beeps. About how, like, they were like, you humans and other aliens are too slow. So
on and off.
The whole reason you hired the Bynars to do stuff for you in the first place was because they could do it all, like, super cool and fast. But you weren't figuring on them doing some sneaky business.
You get two for the price of one.
As the, you know, because they did end up getting up to some sneaky business in 11001001.
So the realization that they weren't being destroyed, this was the exchange. It goes, whoa, all those ships, they aren't being destroyed. They're being stolen.
It's all fake?
And we got to get this to Starfleet. Thanks, Agamas. And then they sort of leave the room. Yeah. And then that's it. It's all we get. That's all we get.
But that's because there's a few episodes left.
That's
Thanks, Agamas.
That's a lot to get, man.
There's three episodes
but
left.
But you'd think there'd be like a musical hit being like, wah, wee, wang, woo, wah, wah, wah,
bombshell.
Wee, wee, wah, wah.
Is that what you think?
something like
Thanks,
that.
Thanks, Agamas. Yeah, something like that. Yeah, that would have been a good one.
No, there's some other options. What about like... Something like that.
I don't know, Tyrannicilicus.
Hey, thanks, buddy. Ow. We gotta go tell Starfleet.
Whatever. Who cares?
Hey, we got information.
All right.
For Starfleet. Something along
yes,
those,
Lord Tyrannicilicus.
Something along those lines, man.
Something like that. Yeah. Something that would have been good.
Something like that.
Because then we could.
This is me, Adam Boimler. I'm heading out the hallway. Gonna tell Starfleet
see?
About my business.
Good, she's good.
All right.
Yeah, so see, because me as the viewer, I need to be told that it's an important moment through cues, you know, visual and auditory cues, other than just it's spoken. I have to be alerted and let know this is a big moment.
This is a big moment.
Because otherwise I wouldn't
a
have figured it out.
A big moment.
But because I'm so smart, I figured it out by listening to the words
You're
they said.
You're so smart.
I didn't read between the lines. They were just the lines and I figured it out.
Oh, that's all you needed.
When they said...
It's all fake?
That was like, it's fake.
I really enjoy...
It's real.
It's fake.
I really enjoy Jesse playing like... Slightly sarcastic hype man to Dan. you're reading between all the lines.
You know it.
You're reading between lines upon lines upon lines upon lines.
Ready to roll.
Yes, the Bynars. It was nice to see the Bynars.
Good old Bynars.
Good old Bynars.
Where are the Trinars when you need them?
So Badgie.
No such thing.
Or the Quadrinars.
Badgie, Logicky. I think we exhausted most of our discussion on that.
How about the Uninards?
This episode, although it's called A Few Badgies More, and we'll say that's the A story, and so we get to see three different versions of Badgie here, or more, depending if you want to refer to the god, digital god version as sort of a new version of Badgie.
I'll be a digital god!
But we, of course, also have Peanut
Badgie?
Hamper. Peanut Hamper and Agamas. So we've got all three.
Agamas.
Is it Agamas or Agamas?
I'm pretty sure. Wait, we can confirm this.
Thanks, Agamas.
Agamas.
Is there somebody else who says Agamas?
I don't think anyone says Agamas.
No.
I don't have any other thing.
To me, you know what?
Never happened.
I'm fine with Agamis. It's just to me, because Agamis makes me think of like that computer is agitating me.
Yeah, I mean, I'm
it doesn't mean I'm right.
No, that's a good.
It's a psychological problem, perhaps.
I'm cool with that. I'm cool with that, man.
You are cool.
I like just Peanut Hamper had some good lines. I just like the way she delivered them, like this one.
I've got my parole hearing later today.
Yeah. And then this one.
His name's Kevin.
And then there was this one.
Rendezvous in Montanita.
But I think my favorite one is this first one.
I've got my parole hearing later today.
Peanut Hamper is voiced by Heather Donahue.
All right.
And has always been. I think she does a great job with this role. Of course, we've also got.
Wait, what is her name?
Heather Donahue. Not Heather Donahue from the Blair Witch Project. This is Heather Donahue.
Okay, thanks for clearing.
Not
clearing
Donna,
that up.
Hugh Donahue. Unless
Hugh.
I wrote this wrong.
I
worked
a very different sort of name.
Well, I once worked with a guy named Ike, which is not that different of a name, but like I was like, yeah, oh, Mike. I was like Mike, because I didn't hear him say Ike. He's like
Spike.
He's like, no, not Mike. It's Ike. It's cool. I get
like
that.
Eisenhower.
He says it's cool. I get that all the time. You know, it's no big deal. It's Ike, not Mike, and it's cool, man. Like he didn't make that
a big deal.
It sounded like it was a big deal. I kind of made it a bigger deal, I guess. But point being is that. She's probably.
Did anybody make any Mike and Ike jokes around him?
I don't think so. The point is, the point is that she probably.
They're going to ridicule people, do it in front of them.
The point is, is that I'm sure she's quite used to being called Kether and being questioned about it. So she's probably like, you know, it's Kether, unless she chose that name.
We also have Jeffrey Combs, who is Agamis. Mm-hmm. Returning in his role as Agamis, and we first saw him in
Does co-conspirating mean nothing anymore?
Oh yeah, in Where Pleasant Fountains Lie.
Yeah,
we saw him in Where Pleasant Fountains Lie.
I've got my parole hearing later today.
And
do you see the blue light?
And the thing was, is
thanks, Agamis.
I had the same feeling this time as I had watching
Does
him in that.
Does co-conspirating mean nothing anymore?
Watching him in that episode, which was, it's so awesome to hear Jeffrey Combs. He's a brilliant voice actor. He brings so much character to the vocal stylings of this malevolent computer. But at the same time, hearing him makes me crave seeing him in a live action Star Trek so much. I miss seeing Jeffrey Combs in live action Star Trek. It would be awesome if they somehow make that possible in Strange New Worlds or whatever.
That's very kind of you to say so.
Yeah.
He would be perfect in Strange New Worlds. He could be in like five episodes of Strange New Worlds playing a different character in each one. That would be
totes ridiculous.
That'd be awesome. Maybe he's not into doing that as much anymore, but
whatever. Who cares?
I would love to see that. But in lieu of that, I'm okay. Hopefully, occasionally enjoying his character of Agamis, and maybe we'll get to see Agamis again before Lower Decks finishes his run. I think that'd be fun.
That's very kind of you to say, sir. Mm-hmm.
The whole Agamis being sad about Peanut Hamper is interesting. I like that angle. You know, he finally had a friend because he was always doing like this lonely evil computer stuff.
Well, at first it seemed like he was all like impressed by the fact that she duped him. Like he was on the beach. He's like, she duped me. That's so great.
But it was like bravado.
But then, right? Yeah, because then later on he was like all bummed about it. Yeah. He was all like, oh man, she'd be so much better if she was here. Which, by the way, they really like casually threw aside the fact that they decimated a planet, basically.
Yeah,
it was kind of weird.
It was a little weird.
They referenced it a few times, and even Boimler was just kind of like, oh yeah, I took over a planet, you know, whatever. It's like presumably...
Was it like snake people?
I don't remember if we heard what kind of people.
No, we see the people. We see them marching and getting zapped by droids.
Right.
And
so presumably hundreds of millions of beings probably died as a result of this planet takeover.
I mean,
so,
one would hopefully think not, but I guess you could say maybe not, but they were at least subjugated for some period of time before.
And I think subjugation
got him to leave.
Subjugation implies like some kind of death, I think. Even so, on a planet-wide level, because you know they're going to fight back, and there's going to be a war.
But they specifically had Boimler make the comment that Agamis was able to take over the planet in record time.
Yeah,
which
suggests he just dropped a big bomb on them and fucking vaporized them.
Yeah, that, you're right. It could be that, or it could just be that because they have the flags out to him. It could be he's just so charming. He's a pretty charming robot. That's always the problem. That was in the previous episode. That's why he specifically asked for Brad Boimler, because he was able to manipulate Boimler so much last time through his computer charm. Computer charm.
That's bad news, man.
Computer charm.
Bad news.
Computer charm.
This isn't the time for your computer comedy.
Yeah, man.
At some point during the episode, because Peanut Hamper started off as like being sinister, but then at some point, I'm wondering if it's around the time she was like hanging out with her dad is when she...
You mean
she,
Kevin Hamper?
Kevin Hamper.
His name's Kevin.
At some point when they were hanging out, I think that's when they implied that she turned, because it sounded like at the beginning she was really into the idea of being evil, but then by the end she was good.
Well,
on the one hand, she wanted to like, she liked hanging out with Agamis, but it did seem like at first she was actually all
for it. But we have her own words, and if she is good now, if she has made that transition, then I think we also have to take her for her word.
Definitely.
When she expressly stated that the point in time where she changed her mind was when she and Agamis were practicing and writing up her parole speech.
Okay. So that was during the first scene. That was the first scene.
It would imply that even before her parole hearing, she was already, because she had that line where she was like, look, we made up all this stuff, and then I realized, oh, it's not made up. I actually kind of feel this.
Yeah, it seemed like she was like really all for it at the beginning, though, you know? Maybe it was like she got some little bit of self-doubt like at first, and then over the episode she like, well, or maybe also, it was just an all at once. Maybe it was all just a ruse, look, and she just liked hanging out with Agamis.
I honestly think that I can chalk that up to the unfortunately all too common experience people have of having a change of heart because of some of their own experiences, or they've learned something, but they're in a family situation or a community situation where admitting to that change of heart may cause them trouble, or they might perceive that it'll cause them trouble. And even if that trouble is as limited as being cut off from their friend group. And I could see Peanut Hamper having a change of heart, but playing up her previous role to Agamis, because that was what her friendship with Agamis was based on. Was based on the activity of finding a way to escape from prison. And that's an analogy to what Rutherford and Tendi were doing. Remember when they were always doing the models together?
Yeah.
And then they realized, and they were like fixing stuff and all that other stuff, that whole like plot line. They were like, oh, we don't have to only have this one particular activity to hang out. Right. We can do other things as well.
And that's what I was saying, like on the other side, if it wasn't like an overtime thing, what it was from the very start is the fact that she did herself say that in the episode that she kept doing that with Agamis because she kept like being bad around Agamis because she wanted to please him.
Yeah,
you know?
Exactly. So
it seemed like Agamis might be a little bit more into Peanut Hamper than Peanut Hamper is Agamis.
I think so. At the end when he talks about moving in with his friend.
Yeah, you're like, just friends. Yeah, there was
Are you bringing up a sound clip?
No, I was looking up, because he was helping them. I guess Peanut Hamper would be a them, right?
Maybe. She seems to present as a her. I've been calling her a she.
Yeah.
I don't know if it's been explicit, so you're right. We could pick a different pronoun.
Agamis was helping.
Good looking at, Dan.
Seemed like when Agamis was helping with the gardening, it seemed like Agamis was trying to please Peanut Hamper to a certain degree, you know. Yeah. But then again, Peanut Hamper, like you said before, did admit that
mutual pleasing.
Mutual pleasing,
which is a good foundation for a nice relationship.
Yeah, so like by scheming,
not necessarily romantic, just platonic, just any relationship. You like to help each other out.
Mm-hmm.
We want to help ourselves out by selling out and having lots of podcast commercials. And so when we're going to go to break now, and then you're going to hear a million commercials. And if you don't hear those commercials, write
1 million.
Write into the commercial people and say, where are their commercials? Why didn't you have the commercials on the It's Got Star Trek podcast?
Totes, Redick!
Just write all the products you use.
Then you can jump off a cliff.
Any product and service you use.
I need trigger warnings.
Well, as Jesse notes, from Jesse's perspective, as soon as you've written into all the products you use and asked them to advertise on the It's Got Star Trek podcast, you are then useless to us at that point. Dan and I may or may not agree. We don't want to cause any.
We don't want to commit to either side. We're gonna play it out and see which side people pick, and then we'll agree with that side.
That sounds sound.
Sound.
But the long and the short of it is that we will be right back.
Bye, Badgie.
All right, we're back. No. We're back from the break.
They did a lot of bing sounds around Badgie.
I see you have a machine that goes bing.
Hi, I'm Gudgy. I'm Gudgy.
Gudgy. Gudgy.
I'm Badgie, your helpful training program.
Actually, my designation is Logikey.
You know, when I was watching, I think it was, maybe it was Logikey. It was one of them. It was one of the Badgie forms. It reminded me the way at one. I think it was Logikey when Logikey was all talking all logical. You know, he might have been saying like
that is illogical
or something like that. Or maybe it was when he was all like
actually the first law of thermodynamics.
It could have been one of those.
Motherfucker got pain.
When you look at it, when you look at Logikey's mouth, it reminded me of the same animation from Family Guy. It had a, like, Peter Griffin sometimes, and I haven't watched Family Guy in a long time, but I remember when Peter Griffin's all being like, sort of like, you know, all dead faced about like saying some kind of like jokey joke, but it's like some meta joke about something, but he's being all dead faced about it, and he's going like, yeah,
dead faced.
He's going to be in all like, you know,
do you do a Peter Griffin impression?
I can't do a Peter. No, this is it. if you look at the mouth side by side, the mouth animation looks exactly the same to me. It seemed like they were influenced by either, maybe they had similar, artists or something. Did anyone from the show get involved with the Seth MacFarlane stuff?
No, this is Titmouse.
But then I've also said that sometimes it reminds me of Warner Brother cartoons. Sometimes I've been reminded of SpongeBob and or Ren and Stimpy. So there's different sort of animation.
I thought you were going to say SpongeBob and or SquarePants.
That would have been funny. So I don't know. It's hard to say. It's hard to talk about that without it in front of us making a comparison. And this is an audio podcast. So, yeah. But just, you know.
You list a lot of negatives about that point. But the main positive is it intrigues me.
Wait, what's the negative?
Well, you said it's an audio podcast.
Oh, yes.
So it's hard to convey.
Okay, right. I got you.
And then there was something else you said.
Yeah, no,
we're just going to have to redo it in a video.
Yeah.
Yes, Lord Tyrannicalicus.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a Peter Griffin impression. Yeah.
I was in I
incidentally,
did,
you could
oh,
also.
Oh,
incidentally,
my God.
You could,
oh, my God. He's pointing at me. Jesus.
Incidentally, you could also say it looked like, what's his name from American Dad? What's the dad from American Dad?
Peter Griffin? No. Oh, you mean Stan.
Stan, yeah. You could picture Stan being all like, I don't know, Margie or whatever.
Margie, yes, that's exactly American Dad.
American Dad's a pretty good show, but I haven't. Franny is like, I don't know, Fran. If that
Francine,
I don't know.
Was his wife.
I was doing the Roger was making, and I'm making a
Roger.
Dirty, I'm making a joke right now, and I've got this face that looks like Logikey's face when he's talking. Okay, I'm sorry. We can move on.
Oh, good.
I love you, Papa.
I thought it was cool how they.
Oh,
had,
did you? Did you think it was cool?
I did think it was cool.
Like, the temperature was low, or did you think it was like
I'm using the colloquial phrase that goes back about 100 years.
That one stuck around. That one's really stuck around. Groovy did not stick around.
I mean, I still say groovy sometimes, but it's an affectation.
In texts.
Yeah, but I'm saying, I say groovy too, but it's not like a popular thing people do.
Well, you usually use it in reference to the chip.
You usually use it.
To potato chips.
Yeah, it's potato groovy potato chips. Do they have grooves frozen potato.
They have wavy.
You're thinking wavy potato chips.
Or yeah, ridges.
But you're all, I'm all like, hey, Dan, I'm at the store. Which kind of chip should I get? And you're like, get the groovy ones.
Right,
get the groovy
right,
ones.
Because
the ones with the grooves in
right,
it.
The jalapenos.
Because I'm weird and I don't say wavy. I say groovy because I'm like me and I come up with my own things to say.
Yes, because you're so cool and different and stuff.
When people say groovy, it's because like, you know, it's like an interesting thing to
anyway,
say.
Anyway.
But
anyway.
Cool is stuck around yes. And it's for good reason.
Yes. And in this case, I'm applying it to something that I have not had the chance to...
Far out? People don't say far out that
state.
Much.
I say far out.
I do too, but it's the same thing as groovy.
I say far out.
It's the same. It's for the same reason as groovy, though. Yeah.
I say as near as I can tell instead of as far as I can tell, because to me it sounds more interesting and makes more sense. But, okay, the point the point I'm trying to make is that with the peanut hamper, they did a good little misdirect
tubular.
Where...
Tubular, you don't say tubular.
Which... I mean, I say all of these things that you're mentioning, Dan.
You when was the last time you said tubular?
I've said tubular recently.
No, you.
I said it during a work meeting.
Okay.
Something came up about some sort of a policy related to cancer or something or other, and I was like, tubular!
Yeah, okay, I can see that.
Yeah. And then my boss was like, radical!
Yeah,
it was awesome.
And then, his boss was like, gnarly.
Shredder and his fucking foot soldiers kicked the door to the conference room in.
Yeah.
Never lower your eyes to an enemy.
Right.
And that then, wasn't Shredder. That was Shredder's dude.
Tetsuo?
I don't remember.
No, it wasn't Tetsuo.
No.
Was it Tetsuo?
No. Anyway, it was a whole thing. But
that sounds like a whole thing.
The point I'm trying to make.
Oh, you're trying to make a point?
With Peanut Hamper.
What were you saying?
And then when they go to the beach... And they're hanging out at the beach, and that's when we find out that Peanut Hamper's not there.
In, like, Ecuador, right?
In Ecuador, and we... what? They were at the beach in Ecuador. That's a place.
Yeah, you did it again.
What did I do? It's in South America. It's a country. It's one of them long countries.
Yeah.
Ecuador.
It's near the equator.
Ecuador. So they were at the beach in Ecuador, and... Agamemnon figures out, okay, she's betrayed me, Dan. You already referenced that, mm-hmm. that you know, that was mm-hmm. blah, 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 whatever.
it's Master Tetsu. Yeah, Tetsu. It's okay. Tetsu.
Yes, never lowering your eyes to an enemy.
Yeah, okay. We can move on.
Okay.
Yeah, so we're talking about the beach. And then
we're talking about the beach.
Okay.
What I thought was clever was the twist was, that it was expected to the audience, it was expected that Peanut Hamper would not be showing up.
Mm-hmm.
From what we knew about Peanut Hamper and her behavior in the past, we had assumed that she was going to betray Agamemnon in one fashion or another, most likely by going off and doing her own thing.
Mm-hmm.
The clever twist is that she did do that, but she didn't do it to go take over a planet or go get up to some other nefarious plan. She did it to go home to her parents.
His name's Kevin.
And her family. And that was, I thought that was really, I liked that. I thought that was a neat way to undermine the audience's expectation. It's slightly undermined because when they crafted this character and when they followed up with the character in the mathematically perfect whatever episode, she's so fucked up that it's almost hard to believe that she actually did reform. I think that's mm-hmm. the thing that undercuts this episode a little bit.
We can still be friends without vanquishing people.
Yeah, I think we're meant to believe that she believes that. And I think that's great. I think that's the good, nice Star Trek ending. It just is a little harder to get into that vibe because of she's been so ridiculous in the past, right?
Right, yeah.
But I still like that they had the whole thing with her family. That was cool.
Yeah, they didn't go too deep into her whole redemption story. So that's why, bringing up questions of at which point in the episode, or was it before the episode that she decided to not be bad?
Yeah.
So we would like to believe that the prison system works in the Star Trek universe.
Well, I was thinking about that. And,
maybe.
And it's kind of funny because, like, in Star Trek, there's two points they're trying to make. There's only two points.
Okay. That robots watched some Robot Lassie.
It's got two points.
They watched Robot Lassie.
Only two points in Star Trek. No, there's two kind of main themes they do in Star Trek. One is to present an imagined future that is more peaceful, more fair, more equal, more diverse, all the positive things that, or at least for many people, that are the positive things that you could like to imagine a future be. And in that future, you expect things like the prison system to be fair, the system of punishment and adjudication of that punishment. You expect that to actually be fair.
Do they have a prison system? Isn't it better not to have, like, do they not need a prison system?
They got the prison in New Zealand. They got
they're treating the evil computers like they're, you know, regular human criminals, which is funny, and that like they can somehow be reformed. And
right.
Like, yeah. It's like, well, no, like, you gotta shut that shit down.
Well, there you go. There's still a split opinion a little bit, I guess. Mm-hmm. But the point is that often Star Trek is trying to create an environment where they are the example of something to go to. On the other hand, they also often want to tell stories where there's a moral tale, and they want to make an example of something. For example, they might want to talk about an unjust prison system or something.
Fievel Goes West.
Yeah, but okay. Not an unjust tale. I get it. An American tale. Yeah. I get it. Bluth, the Bluth animation. You know, there are no cats in America. I get it.
Because the streets are filled with cheese.
No, the streets are paved with
cheese. Oh, I'm sorry. I
there are no cats in America, and the streets are paved with cheese.
That is illogical.
It's very logical. But
that's what they heard.
There's sometimes
it's all fake.
There's sometimes a tension between these two kind of usages of Star Trek: the ideal versus a moral analogy. And an example is like the Drumhead, right? In the Drumhead, you see a person get accused of being a saboteur and a spy, and because of the admiral that is picked to adjudicate the thing who is racist against Romulans, that is not an example of an enlightened trial, right? It really is.
Sabotage.
On the other hand, in A Measure of a Man, that is highlighted as sort of like, okay, this is a good way for the future to sort of adjudicate this sort of situation. And I think they run into that a little bit here, where it's like, okay, are they trying to show us that this is the ideal way to do things, or are they trying to show us that this is a flawed system that people can take advantage of? I don't know. Maybe they're not trying to tell us any of that, and they're just trying to have some fun jokes.
Yeah.
That's fine, too.
Well, work for Peanut Hamper.
But yes, it worked for Peanut Hamper. I did enjoy the joke where Peanut, you talked earlier about the Bynars not being subtitled.
Right.
Peanut Hamper's dad wasn't subtitled, but it was very clear that what he was saying is, are you fucking my robot daughter?
Yeah, because that's...
There's no other way to interpret
that. And
she's all like, Dad!
Right. That's the situation where you're supposed to be able to tell what they said throughout the responses.
Context clues.
Yeah, but there were no...
Are you fucking... my daughter.
The context clues in the Bynar situation were...
No, Kevin.
The context clues...
We're just friends.
The context clues in the Bynar situation were subtle, if not non-existent. Yeah. So it was just kind of funny, which makes me think that was a joke itself.
I'm guessing they were the Lower Decks complaining about something, but we don't know exactly what. Maybe one of them was complaining that there were three of them instead of two.
Right. Or if there was like only
one. Because they like two or four.
There could be a whole story.
There was only one biscuit left at breakfast.
There's one breakfast biscuit. This could be classic, like when the New Yorkers like
classic Bynar
when
comedy.
When the New Yorkers like caption this comic strip, you know, and you have to send in your captions. Maybe they should do a thing where it's like, what are the Bynars talking about in the scene? And you can come up with your own.
Can you come up with
your own your own overdub?
I already did. There was only one biscuit at breakfast.
Yeah, that's Jesse.
Pissed off.
I've got my parole hearing later today.
Every time you play that clip, I think she's about to talk about pierogies.
Pierogies. Oh, pierogies are...
I want some pierogies.
I never get to get... I never get to eat them enough.
We have pierogies a lot.
They're at the store.
I know they're at the store, but it's like...
Let's get some.
It's hard. There's not as much of... It's harder to find a good...
Is there a late night pierogi joint in Annandale?
It's harder to find a good selection of pierogies at the supermarket. The supermarket doesn't offer that a great selection, unless you go to a certain supermarket, but your average supermarket...
Which one?
Your average supermarket is not going to have that great of a selection.
We get
of pierogies
through
Are
the mail.
Are you sure, dog?
We get pierogies through the mail from the farm.
Right.
Place.
So what I'm talking.
We get farm pierogies. They've been freshly picked.
Look. My point is.
Look.
My point is that pierogies are delicious, and they need to have more. There needs to be more public awareness of pierogies. And I know that everyone knows what pierogies are. Most people know what pierogies are. A lot of people don't know what pierogies are.
Not everybody's into the dumpling game.
But like
the international dumpling game.
But look,
there's all sorts of dumplings.
Look, we have pasta.
Pierogies are particularly good dumpling.
Look, we have pasta everywhere. We have ravioli everywhere. Pierogies kind of like
I got my ravioli everywhere.
The pierogi.
It's a joke because I spilled it.
Okay. The pierogi is like the ravioli of the dumpling
it's
world.
It's like a big old ravioli.
And my only point is, yes, there are plenty of places to get pierogies, but the fact that you don't have a wide selection in your average supermarket means that there's not enough public awareness.
Does Arlington have any late night pierogi places? Probably not.
I don't know, maybe. I really don't know. That's the thing, is I can name like five pizza joints, but I can't find a pierogi joint.
And they got all them Starbucks.
That's my point. It's maybe there's an easy way.
It's an underserved market is what you're saying.
Yeah, there may be an easy way to get it on the internet, but like in your public place, it's hard to hunt down a nice pierogi selection.
Yeah. We got to, maybe when we get finished, we'll finish up this podcast shortly, and then we can discuss a business plan for this pierogi venture.
There's a decent selection in Oakton.
Well, you got to go to Oakton specifically. And who wants to go to Oakton?
I know, right?
Well, it's close to me at my house.
Yeah, I mean, it's not close to any of our houses.
And Jesse, I get your point, though, but it should be down the street and it should be as available as linguine is for
it's
me.
It's down the street from my house.
I think, but, okay, I think but we need more. We need,
do you get
need
the point I'm saying, though? Is it needs to be as available as ravioli.
Yes.
Yes. Okay. But yes, I'm jealous, Jesse, because I wish I knew where there was a good pierogi place around. Although there's a borscht place. I can get borscht close by.
Yeah,
borscht's right. Pretty good.
Okay. anything else about
Maybe
this
they
episode?
They have pierogies at the borscht place.
They do another grappler mention.
Do they have pierogies at the borscht place?
They might.
They won't have pierogies at the borscht place.
Shuttles don't even need a stupid grappler. Stupid grappler. Shuttles don't even need a stupid grappler.
Stupid grappler. This is another reference to a grappler that previously...
Like out of Enterprise when there was that big grappler that was all weirdly animated.
But more specifically, more recently...
Velociraptor.
Velociraptor.
on Strange New Worlds, on the episode Those Old Scientists, they also had a conversation about grapplers and how grapplers are awesome.
Hey, grapplers aren't stupid. Grapplers are sick.
And grapplers are pretty cool.
And the whole grappler situation, Rutherford did have a reason to freak out because he did almost kill Tendi with that grappler.
Yeah, that was yeah.
And then at the end, they pulled the same move they did with Rutherford with the knife. Remember when Rutherford kept getting stabbed with the knife? Not Rutherford, I'm sorry, Mariner.
Mariner.
And like at the very last time, it bounced off a wall and hit her and stabbed her. That's exactly what happened to Boimler with the grappler. It bounced off a thing and pinned him up against the wall.
He gets most of that kind of physical...
Yeah, so between the grapplers and the badgies, Rutherford is it needs to maybe like be a little more careful. You know what I mean?
Right.
Because he made like some.
He's never careful.
Yeah, he made some like program that ascended into godhood. Yeah, you know,
he's done that a lot though. where he's done.
But he's just so lovable, you can't be mad at him.
Yeah, well, it's true.
You probably should be mad.
You
at
can't
him
be.
We get to see the. We get to see the Daystrom Institute again, which looks exactly like it does in Picard and other. Have we seen it before? We've seen it before in
the Daystrom Institute is in Okinawa. Is that right?
Yes, if I recall correctly, I think the Daystrom Institute is in Okinawa.
Right on.
I don't know. Just another fun thing that they did in there.
An Earth-based episode.
Lots of silly stuff that was I enjoyed. The desktop computers playing basketball. The desktop computers. Lifting weights. I mean, you don't actually see them lifting weights. They're just like on a weight bench.
I mentioned, is this in the prison you're talking about?
Yes.
Yeah, I mentioned how they were watching Robot Lassie.
The Robot Lassie's really funny. Well, it's Lassie with a robot.
With a robot,
which is even funnier, especially at the end where Lassie just puts your paw on the robot. playing that music, which was cute. I did like Lord Tyrannicillus.
I don't know. Tyrannicillus.
Yeah, Tyrannicillus.
Yes, Lord Tyrannicillus.
This is a fun name.
Yeah, that is a really fun name.
I could also see how a planet could easily be taken over by somebody called Lord Tyrannicillus.
It was funnier because he was so sinister, Agamus
but he was like trying.
Yeah, and Agamus was just like, I don't know, man. Just like you're trying too hard. Man.
Well, and right, every time we saw Lord Tyrannicillus, he was it was in a mode of already trying to be better, right? Which is amusing.
I guess one thing I wanted to say was this episode sort of was like between Boimler, Tendi and Rutherford, it was all dealing with the fallout from their previous projects.
Yes.
With Boimler, of course, it was with Agamus.
Yes.
With Tendi, it was with Peanut Hamper. And then with Rutherford, of course, it was with Badgie. Yes. So it's all these characters had to deal.
Tying up the loose ends.
And it's just specifically their projects they started. Yeah, and like now where are they?
Or
some way involved. Yeah, you're right. But like, yeah, so it sort of followed up on that whole situation, which is going with the whole how they haven't really done this plot lately, but about how the Cerritos' whole purpose is to be second contact, right?
They it's a way to combine the benefits of a ship-based show with the benefits of the Deep Space Nine style, more stationary show. One of the benefits of Deep Space Nine being that you had actions from the past have to be resolved or have impacts that reverberate into the future and that the characters have to deal with. Sometimes it's good stuff, sometimes it's bad stuff, but this is a classic example of how, yes, it's a mechanism for getting them to have to revisit stories in a way that is maybe works a little bit better than sometimes we saw on TOS or TNG or even Voyager.
I've said before that DS9, I don't know if I've said this on the podcast, but DS9 is kind of similar to all those hospital shows in the sense that you're at the stationary place and it's kind of like character of the week kind of situation. You get a new character this week, you interact with them, and then they might come back later. You don't know.
They might have lupus.
They might have. That's never lupus. No. It's never lupus.
I mean, but they might have it.
But
they might have leprosy.
But if the character is popular, they'll bring it back for a later episode. But yeah, it's all sort of like have the action come to you kind of deal. But like the Lower Decks is kind of a combination of that whole thing with DS9 and exploration.
I really think it's a distillation, and it's, you know, I'm not going to suggest that it's you know that the writers are thinking of any of this consciously or whatever. It's just like this is where the styles of storytelling have evolved, and right now we're having in Star Trek we get season long arcs, we get series long whatever, we get more episodic and the blending of the two. I'm really digging Lower Decks and Strange New Worlds style, where there's plenty of continuity, plenty of character growth, but also discrete fun little stories from week to week, and I really dig that.
Did you see the blue light?
Yeah, I did like the silly stuff, like the blue light.
Yeah, his little drone buddies, like they should have been tipped off when his drone buddies came out and they had red lights. You would have think that would have tipped them off if they were evil, but they weren't suspicious.
You're right.
I'm right. When I'm right, I'm right. And me, I'm always right.
You're always right. I like the line, "Science and engineering are messy," from Tendi, which was, of course, turned out to be an important part of this episode, but also just true. And it's a fun part of life. Science is awesome. Engineering's pretty cool too.
The truth is, searching for the truth is messy. It's how it should be. It's not all a nice package.
Things are messy, yeah.
It's like when science, you know, they talk about how science, like you're out to disprove things, you know, you're out to shake the system up, you know, and that can be pretty messy.
It can definitely be very messy. It can be super duper messy.
Super duper. It can be super duper messy.
Taste wet sustenance.
Hey, Jesse. What are you doing?
Hey, Jesse.
I'll tell you what we're doing. We're going to wrap things up, is what we're doing. Any final immediate
points? I'm done.
Otherwise, this episode, a few badgies more.
There was a in order moment that I thought was a little lazy.
Oh, okay.
When first of all, when Mariner was jumping out the space dock and catching Rutherford, that was a really reckless move. Because what if she missed? I mean, I guess we can assume she had a jetpack or something. But like, you want to be tethered.
Jetpack.
When you pull a move like that, you kind of want to be tethered so you don't go floating off into space. So
you don't go floating off into
space.
But
I mean, that's the fun of fun.
Star Trek never does that.
Yeah, but it's you know, it's Lower Decks is silly on purpose, so it's fine. We don't need to worry about it. But when Freeman ordered her back, she's like, "Get back here. That's an order." What I think she should have said, "I order you to get back here." I think she should have said that. I think that would have been more acceptable than saying that's an order.
Yeah.
In my opinion.
Okay. Well,
in my opinion, thanks the day before Thanksgiving.
Peggy Hill. Yeah. This guy's being all Peggy Hill.
Is, has the most traffic.
It's the busiest travel lady.
Yeah, that is it. Thank you. That is it. I said it all like Data. That is it.
That is it, sir.
Then Data talks like that. He's like, "I'm Data. This is how I talk.
I am Cornholio.
This is how I talk."
All right. That's been a few badges more, whatever this episode is called.
Solid gold.
Next week, there are three episodes left of Lower Deck Season 4. And next week, we will be discussing Season 8, which is called just simply
Episode 8
Caves. It's called Caves.
That's like Friday the 13th. It's spooky.
Ooh. Oh, why? Because it's caves?
It's just called caves. What's in the caves?
I would like to think.
I was in a cave once.
Was it spooky?
No.
It's because you didn't cave it right.
You didn't go deep enough.
Yeah.
I would like to think that this title references in some way, there's some joke about them being in, you know, in one of the classic Star Trek style cave sets.
Yeah.
Which they've done they've done before on this show, but Star Trek is well known for having those like styrofoam rock caves. They got better over the years, but they still always look like a set.
You should make your basement right. look like that.
Maybe not in the newer shows, but in in Enterprise, which was pretty advanced in high definition, it was still like when they were in a cave, it was still like a Star Trek style cave.
Can we cover your basement in styrofoam and paint it bright purple and pink?
Yeah. Yeah, we can.
That would be badass.
It would be badass.
We just need to get out while it's drying because we don't want to get brain damage.
We would wait to record. Yes. Yeah,
get out while the drying's good. I don't know. You could have maybe a paint fume episode is.
That might be funny.
It's exactly what we need and what the audience.
It doesn't have to be a super long.
What
episode.
The audience wants.
Yeah, not gonna work.
It's just a half an hour of it's us babbling, babbling until
we pass out.
Totes ridiculous.
Terrible brain.
It would
damage.
Be totes ridiculous.
Oh, this Tendy moment was a.
Look at the pretty light.
That wasn't a Tendy moment. Sorry, that was
What are you doing?
Oh my gosh! On? I don't know what I'm clicking on. There was a funny Tendy.
I don't know
moment.
If I'm believing you because you're all like jibber jabbering.
I know.
At the very end of the episode.
Oh, I think it was part of my beat. Was it?
Ah, this stuff is great.
And then there was.
All we have on Orion are like sharp little pebbles.
No, that wasn't the favorite.
But I did
one,
like the sand.
Wait, there was one. Wait, that's what I'm getting to. That's what I'm getting to.
Okay, this is what Dan's getting to.
I'm trying to find it.
He's gonna find it.
I'm trying to find it.
No, nobody stress out. It's gonna be fine.
Well, works for me.
Wait, no. Oh, wait, that is. I gotta play it again.
Well, works for me.
Yeah.
It was great. It was really great.
That was what I was looking for.
Then he's awesome. Then he's the best.
Thank you for bearing with me.
All right.
Is this guy going to murder us?
So
well, works for me.
So that's the end of this week's episode of the It's Got Star Trek podcast. As usual, you can do all sorts of stuff to reach us. You can
it's
get
all
us
fake
on the old social medias on pretty much all of them at It's Got Star Trek. You can probably find us there. Check us out and interact with us. Have fun. That'd be great. We are on YouTube. We are on Facebook.
No big deal.
We have a website called www.itsgotstartrek.com.
Yeah, of course we do.
You can send us emails at feedback@itsgotstartrek.com. And even better, send us an audio clip at itsgotstartrek.com/record. You can record up to 90 seconds to send along to us. And
what's up, party people?
You
know,
what more do you need?
You don't have to be shy about it.
What more do you need?
Because like it lets you listen before you send it. You know, you can try it out a couple times if you want. Highly recommend that. It'd be super fun. So you can do that if you like. If you don't like, send us an email. If you don't like that, send us something on social media.
If you don't like that, go to hell.
I fully support Jesse's.
I think I've said that before.
Jesse's view on that,
or something similar.
Happy Beverly Crusher Day! Go check us
Absolutely,
out on Crusher Convo on the YouTube channel Crusher Convo. You can check out our video on Beverly Crusher and mentorship. I think it was a fun one.
You know it.
If you enjoy our podcast, good chance you'll enjoy
you know
that. Go check it out. And with that, we hope you have a lovely week, and we'll talk to you next week. Bye bye.
Taste with sustenance.